96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
So this is a tentative identification, not the official identification that will come from official medical records, but we have tentatively identified the person we found today of that of Mr. Tatum. So everything that we have is consistent with what we know about his appearance. And is consistent with what information that we had that brought us here to begin with.
That was D.C. Police Chief Kathy Lanier about 45 minutes ago as she tentatively confirmed the ID of Khalil Tatum. His body was found at a park in Northeast D.C. today. We still do not know what has happened to 8-year-old Relisha Rudd. She is the girl Tatum is suspected of kidnapping. And tomorrow marks the first day of National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And tonight, we address the issues surrounding this case and safety, as well as the welfare of every child. My guests tonight are Derica Wilson. She's the co-founder and president of Black and Missing Incorporated. Michelle Booth Cole, executive director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. And psychologist Dr. Taish Hall Brown, a Howard University professor, as well as an expert in child and adolescent psychology. If you want to be a part of this conversation, if you have a question or a comment, we welcome you to the program. Give me a call. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. You're certainly welcome to comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or you can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me on this very important day as it relates to the Relisha Rudd case and child safety in general. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Derica, let me start with you. You were there today as a volunteer. Chief Lanier even mentioned your organization about 45 minutes ago when she was thanking the volunteers who have been at Kenilworth Park participating, trying to find out about the whereabouts of Relisha Rudd as well as Khalil Tatum. Can you kind of give me an update? What did they have you doing today, and what is the expectation going forward?
Well, we aided the Metropolitan Police Department in searching the grounds of Kenilworth Park. They reached out to us over the weekend and requested our assistance. So with the information that came to light over the past couple of weeks, we hit the ground running, just searching that area. And before the search even went underway, the body of this man was found on the grounds. And so, of course, if you've been following the story, this has been a developing story every single day in the news. And so we're just hoping and hanging on to that hope that we will find Relisha alive. So we didn't find anything today, and we're going to continue to hang on to that hope because in my gut feeling, I don't feel that she's out there in the park, and I'm pulling on every heartstring in my body and also my law enforcement background as well. I just don't feel that Relisha is in that park.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea, and you mentioned your law enforcement background, so you're certainly no rookie. You have been a police officer in Falls. You had been a police officer in Falls Church, Virginia, for many, many years. The police have not released information as to what led them to the park. Do you have any idea why they were searching Kenilworth Park instead of, you know, other places?
Actually, they did release information as to why they were searching the park. It all stemmed from Mr. Tatum's cell phone. There were indications that they retrieved from his cell phone the towers that it pinged in the area, as well as, I believe, some purchases that was made that they were able to get a hold of. He had purchased a shovel. He had purchased a trash bag and lime, and he was in that area. So it was a combination of things, items that he purchased, as well as his cell phone tracking that led them to that area. Mm.
Let me bring Michelle and Dr. Brown in on this conversation. And I know, Michelle, that you can't obviously speak to the very specifics of this case, but there's a lot of public information out there. And just from your professional thought process, in your professional opinion, this girl's been missing for a month. What has gone wrong here?
Well, first, I want to thank Derica for the work that her organization's been doing and keeping this at the forefront. And I want to thank you, Harold, again, for continuing to have this conversation. What I do know is that there are a lot of opportunities for people to get involved and get engaged. And when something this painful and tragic happens, I think we have to ask ourselves, what can we learn from this and what we can do? So there are going to be a lot of opportunities to dissect kind of what's happened here. And my inclination is, you know, not to really start pointing the finger at this conversation, but to start asking, what can we do differently so there's not another Relisha Rudd incident?
So what would you say to that then? Because, you know, again, we realize that Relisha Rudd, in the beginning, she was in a homeless shelter with her mother and other family members. We know that, you know, homelessness is such a critical problem. And rarely is there another more vulnerable position for a little girl to be in, for a family to be in. And so, you know, as a parent, even when you are feeling most vulnerable, what can you do to make sure that your children are safe? I mean, is there a mindset that you have to kind of adopt, you know, once you get to that very difficult point?
You're absolutely right that it's an incredibly vulnerable position for children, for families. I think, though, for a parent, what is always valuable is knowledge. Knowledge is power. And if you understand the nature of child abuse, you understand what pedophiles, what predators do, then it changes the lens that you look at things through. And it allows you to see things in a clearer light, in a more protective light. So if you ask me what parents can do, because every child is vulnerable, every child needs to be protected, then parents can learn what they can do to recognize and respond to abuse, but to spot it, to spot possible perpetrators in their midst.
And Dr. Brown, the similar question, when you're talking about you know, this particular case, when you're talking about vulnerabilities, there have been reports that of possible child abuse in this case. But just talk to me about the mindset. If a child has had a history of neglect, of abuse, whether it be at the hands of the parents or even by society, where is that child? How vulnerable is that child to predators?
I think, as Michelle said, they can be very vulnerable. It really depends on the particular child. I think each child is impacted differently. And some of that depends on the developmental level of the child. Some of it depends on the support and then just their ability, their internal ability to cope with things. I think many children who experience these types of traumatic events have, you know, worries of their own. They start to think, you know, can this happen to me? What will happen if mommy and daddy aren't around, or who is it that I can actually even consider safe? Because especially in this instance, this was someone who a lot of people considered safe. Mm-hmm. So I think lots of anxieties or some, you know, sad feelings. And then just that kind of, misunderstanding or just not really understanding what's going on overall and trying to grasp at straws and at the adults that are around them.
Let me quickly take a phone call, because I know there are people who want to get in on this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-7810. 4876. Tony, calling from Washington, D.C. What's on your mind? Tony?
Hello?
Yeah, please, quickly. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. First of all, I think the city is to blame. You can start with social services. You can start with the court system. And also, you definitely can start with that shelter. That shelter is located right next to D.C. jail, a methadone clinic, and for an early disease the clinic. It's pretty much in one of the worst spots that you can, you know, actually raise kids at, or for kids to be put in that kind of environment.
But here's the thing, though, Tony. Khalil Tatum, as far as we know, was not utilizing any of those other places. He was an employee, okay? Someone that the system said that they did background checks, although obviously not thorough enough, which brings us to the question. Who do you trust if you are a parent, especially when you're talking about someone who could be a wolf in sheep's clothing? Tony, stay with us. I want to talk to you about that a little bit more. We're going to talk about this after the break. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're looking at the Relisha Rudd case and the issues surrounding safety and welfare of children. My guests are Derica Wilson, co-founder of Black and Missing Incorporated, Michelle Booth Cole, executive director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center, and psychologist Dr. Taish Hall Brown, a Howard University professor and expert in child and adolescent psychology. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will take your phone calls even after 7:30 on Sirius XM Channel 141. We lost Tony, but Michelle, you were referring to, you know, his to that particular issue that we were addressing. You call it grooming. In this particular case, Khalil Tatum, there were reports that he had given money to either some of the girls at the shelter or parents. He befriended them in one way or another. Define what grooming is.
So grooming is a tactic used by pedophiles to ingratiate themselves to the children and to the adults who are responsible for the children. So it's things they do to build a trust, granted a falsely brokered trust, but to build the trust of those adults so that if you keep in mind that child abuse is often a crime of access, they need access to children. Well, how do you get access? Through the adults who are responsible for them. So that's part of what, if you are a parent, understanding and being aware and getting educated about child abuse, understanding that tactic. Mm-hmm. By the same token, Dr. Brown, you want to talk a little bit about not creating an atmosphere of distrust.
Right. So you can go to the complete other side of the spectrum where now the child is very anxious and has, you know, kind of a generalized anxiety or worry about everyone they meet or things that they encounter. So it's a fine line in terms of making them aware and vigilant about what's around them, but also helping them to understand that they could still lead a happy life and everything doesn't have to be anxiety provoking or make them feel bad.
Derica, can you shed some light on this issue at all?
Yes, absolutely. First and foremost, let me comment about the background check. The shelter, and I want to comment on the caller, because the shelter, when they were questioned about how long he had been working there, they couldn't even respond about how long he had been employed at that shelter.
Well, Derica, let me stop you there because I've got to take another break. Please don't lose your point, which is an extremely important point. But I do have to take another break. If you were on the phone, that includes Dee from Washington, Pamela from Baltimore, Carolyn Olney, and Chris in Alexandria. Please do not hang up. You'll be able to hear the program. I'll take your calls in just a bit. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this important conversation in just a bit.